Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. In this daily editorial, we are going to focus pretty much primarily on the precious metals as I am chatting with Dave Erfley. Now, Dave, today, not a good day for the precious metals. I think we can all say that. We have gold down a little over $30 on the spot market. Silver just continues to move lower as now it's down $1.11, right around that $24 region. And the U.S. dollar, that is moving higher, so that could be obviously hurting these precious metals. Overall, though, you used a great term to describe the precious metals market right now, and that is schizophrenic. It absolutely is. Day after day, it's almost impossible to make a call as to what will drive the gold market up or down. But that's just kind of the world we're living in right now, very much headline-driven. One thing that I do like to focus on, though, are the charts. And you look at GDX, you look at GDXJ. Ever since that high at the very beginning of August, they are in fairly pronounced downtrends, consistently lower highs and some lower lows. Even this most recent bounce that we saw in the precious metals stocks or in these ETFs still didn't take us to the last high that we had. So again, it looks like another lower high. Not that follow through that we'd really like to see. Dave, what do you have to say about the continued downtrend in precious metals, especially precious metals stocks? However, it's not just collapsing on its head.
Yeah, Corey, I mean, the caveat here is, as far as the downtrends are concerned, is you got to put the word healthy in front of them, because that run-up that we had became extreme overbought. We had an extreme move to the upside in a short amount of time, and we saw extreme overbought levels in everything. In gold and silver and GDX and GDXJ. So this needs to consolidate for a while longer. You had a high consolidation triangle break down a few weeks ago, and both gold and silver came down to test their rising 18-week moving averages. And now we've had three consecutive closes above that 18-week moving average. And today, everything's testing it again today. So you've got gold, silver, GDX, GDXJ. They're all sitting on their 18-week moving averages. And it's all predicated on this stimulus package that's become a huge political football. I mean, last week was crazy. And like I said, very schizophrenic. You know, you had earlier in the week, Trump coming out and tweeting, who knows what kind of drugs he was on because of the COVID that he had. He came out and tweeted that, you know what, no more stimulus, talk until after the election. Well, that pulled the rug out of everything. And I'm sure his advisors told him that, hey, you know what? You can't come out and say that, because if you have everything tanking into the election, that's going to ruin your reelection hope. So basically, he came out and tweeted a few hours later that he'd still like to make a deal happen. The stimulus is there. It needs to get into everybody's hands. And then a bottom came in. And then at the end of the week, we had Golden Week in China was over, and the China market opened up for the first time in a week, and gold popped $35. And then we got Nancy Pelosi coming out and saying, you know what, we're not going to be talking about stimulus anymore for the rest of the week, because $1.8 billion still isn't enough. So it's just going all over the place. But in the meantime, if you take a step back and look at the big picture, this is all just a healthy consolidation process that I expect to continue for a little while longer.
Yeah, in all fairness, I don't think we can expect any sort of clarity up until the election, but then even after the election, right, there could be so much uncertainty in terms of, well, either party contesting it, all on the back of, who knows, these write-in ballots or mail-in ballots, all these other aspects that could actually delay the actual results of the election. Now, Dave, you mentioned that 18-week moving average. It's not one that we typically talk about on this show. Why are you following that 18-week moving average now more so than some of the other moving averages?
Well, I've just worked it into my analysis over the past year into specific gold stocks and into gold and into silver, because it seems to be an area of support and resistance. If you also take a look at the 18-week moving average on the dollar, it's been resistance as the gold price came back down and tested its rising 18-week moving average. The dollar went up and back tested its falling 18-week moving average. So this consolidation is predicated on a stimulus, which is predicated on the movement in the U.S. dollar. So if the dollar looked like it was starting to roll back over again when there was hopes of a stimulus package being presented before the election, and now it's looking more likely that it's not, so the dollar's going back up and gold's going back down. So just the 18-week moving average has seemed to be an area of support and resistance for both markets.
Okay. Well, fair enough. And right now, I think we can all say that the inverse correlation between the dollar and gold and precious metals in general does need to be noted. And that's been in play here for a couple months. Now, I mentioned all this uncertainty, and a lot of it revolves around the election. I know a lot of gold bugs are saying once this election's behind us and we're going to get all the stimulus and that's going to push gold higher. What about the flip side or the argument to that, saying when the election is over, then it's going to remove that uncertainty? And yes, we might get some stimulus. I think for sure we're going to get some stimulus on the back end of that. But the uncertainty component is then gone because the election is behind us.
Oh, yeah, there's so many different outcomes to look at, possible outcomes to look at here, Corey. I mean, we see Biden way ahead in the polls, just like Hillary was way ahead in the polls at this time 4 years ago. And so the market's pricing in all this stimulus that's going to come in if there's a blue wave and the Democrats take the House, the Senate, and the presidency. But on the flip side of that, if Trump pulls it out like he did, you know, 4 years ago, I think that would really hurt the gold price. Because, like you said, I mean, the uncertainty is there, but this would be a big surprise. And also, you'd see a lot less stimulus coming into the market, although you'd see quite a bit. You'd see less stimulus. So then you bring in the possibility of gold coming down to test that 1800 level, which I consider what I would consider to be a healthy process, because this is still a very high consolidation. If you take a step farther back and look at the monthly chart of gold, it could still correct quite a ways and still be in a healthy uptrend. And I think that 1800 level being tested would be even healthier. You know, you've got the rising 200-week moving average has now gotten to about 1750. And let's say if gold does correct down to the 1800 by around the election, that would the 200-day moving average would probably be up around the 1800 level by then. And I would see a lot of safe haven buying come in at that level. So, I mean, there's just so much uncertainty out there. That's the big key word, right? Uncertainty everywhere. So basically what I'm trying to say is during the short term, good luck trying to trade this sector, but in the long term, using this volatility to your advantage, I would highly suggest doing that, because, you know, the long term macro fundamentals have never looked better for the precious metals sector. But the short to medium term, you could use this volatility to your benefit. And when you have down days like this, if you have juniors or gold miners that you're looking to get into and they correct down to some of these moving averages, it's a good time to add some more or take new positions.
So what about those investors, though, that don't have a whole lot of cash on the sidelines? They're sitting there with a lot of stocks being held, but they've ridden this downtrend down. Do you think that intraday spikes in share prices should be sold to build up a cash position? Or is this a spot where probably best just to sit with your positions, even though we might get a little bit more downside?
Well, I would say it all depends on the individual investor. You know, if this is an investment capital we're talking about, we're in a buy and hold bull market, Corey, as far as I'm concerned. So, you know, if you have positions that you've got into a little late and they're down, you might want to consider adding to them. Or if this is investment capital and not capital that you need to live on for the next 3 to 6 months, but I wouldn't suggest selling here in a stock that's in an uptrend. I mean, sure, there's still a lot of gold stocks out there that are still in downtrends, because let's face it, they're not very good gold stocks. So I mean, it might be a good chance to take a tax loss on something like that. But it really all depends on the investor.
Yeah, fair enough. And in the big picture, gold, silver, a lot of these gold stocks, they're still in longer-term uptrends, right? We're just talking these short-term downtrends. Very much a correction, healthy correction. One final comment, you mentioned gold potentially reaching that 1800, but also giving that 200-day moving average, which is right around 1750, time to catch up and maybe support that 1800. I'm looking at that 200-day moving average right now, and it really doesn't look like it's going to make it to that 1800 level until maybe mid-November, probably even a little bit later than that. Does that mean you're expecting, again, just this choppy trade, not necessarily a waterfall decline, just choppiness through the next couple months?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I expect. You know, we've seen the drop. Now we're seeing the chop. That's basically what this sector does to investors. You know, I mean, it has these huge moves up, and it coerces people to chase things, which they really shouldn't do. And then once we have the drop, we have the chop. And during this chop, you can have some scary moments. And but during now that we're in a bull market, it's in the juniors, especially in the juniors, for the first time in 8 years. I mean, if you've done your research on these juniors and you believe that you're in a junior that's the right junior to hold for the next few years, then you want to use the volatility as your friend. You don't want to try to trade against it. So since this is a buy and hold bull market, and if you, like I said, if you did end up chasing something, it all depends on your situation, whether you want to add to it or maybe take a tax loss and get back into it later. It all depends.
Yeah, fair enough. All right, Dave, we'll wrap it up there. Not much more to say about this market. We've been saying time and time again just how volatile and a bit of a correction was needed. We're still in that corrective phase. But all these different potential drivers, it's just such a muddy situation. We don't know how it's all going to play out, but I still believe that the longer-term outlook for the precious metals is strong, as, well, I believe this virus is going to be around with us for a while, and economies are still going to be slow, and that means even more money printing. So that's the narrative I'm playing off of. Dave, great chatting with you. Thanks again for your time. We'll chat again next week.
Look forward to it, Corey. Thanks.